Da Bears.
Is this on? Are we recording?
It's on.
What is up? The boys are back.
Not
all four boys. You get three out of four this week. First and foremost, sorry we ain't seen you guys in a little bit. It's been 2 weeks.
It's our longest hiatus.
Busy weeks.
Life, am I right?
It's crazy. It's crazy. But we are back, guys. Joined with the bestest friends in the whole world. Sammy Stats is here.
What's going on, everybody?
Producer Jake is here.
Howdy.
I'm Marcos, missing Dollar Dale this week. Hopefully next week we get all four of the boys back together. We're due. We're due. Guys, episode 78 of Dub Air Minimum Podcast. Today is Monday, June 26th.
Tell me about today. I don't. You're giving me a look like.
You guys know what today is?
No.
I don't know either.
Oh.
I was hoping.
It was officially summer like almost a week ago, right?
It is like it's Stitch Day. You guys remember that Disney character Stitch?
Oh, oh yeah, of course.
Cause he's,
why is it Stitch Day?
Because he's Experiment 626.
So
we're out here. Big moves, big moves. My boys, I missed you guys. How the hell are we doing? Where the
hey.
First and foremost, where the hell we been the last 2 weeks?
Family, man. Yeah, family, work. Yeah, that's what I got.
A little bit of work, a lot of golf.
Oh, yeah. A lot of golf.
I could lie and say I've been doing like super exotic stuff. Not true.
At all.
No. And no one would believe it.
Hanging drywall, painting, being a dad.
Yeah, it's good. It's good times, dude.
It's crazy how like just, and we say it all the time, but there's just not enough hours in the day.
Well, summer's also tough for us just too, because like we have softball. So like that's two of the weekdays gone. And then Fridays are usually a bust. Because so then you got basically our only chance is Monday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
And if we're down to two people, it's like, well, that's probably not going to happen.
Well, especially with you guys and your work, like traveling and stuff. That's where, no thanks. I'm glad I don't travel so I don't have to go surfing in South Carolina.
Dude, I think it's a vibe. I'm Googling it.
Let's
right
ask
now.
The. All right. If anyone can tweet back at Jake.
To fill you,
just Marcos, let him just tell him
to fill you guys in. So pre-show meeting, Jake said some rambunctious shit.
I'll be Jake.
Hey Jake, are you going on a work trip this anytime soon?
Yeah, I'm going to North Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh nice. Are you gonna do anything fun down there?
I think I might try to surf. I don't know.
There's options.
Surf shacks.
I'm just saying.
Folly Beach. That's surf
the
lessons.
That's the Folly
going
Beach.
To Folly Beach.
Nice. Leave a review. Guys, I
already got 5 stars.
What, two people?
25.
That's more than I thought. All right.
Report I missed you back. Guys a lot, and I especially miss talking with you guys about all the big headlines that we've seen the last couple of weeks. So we'll start with the big one, right? And I don't know if you guys were as, like, just... I was going to say, it's a poor play on words, encapsulated by...
Oh, shit. Oh, no.
By the submersible submarine news all over the place. And the whole thing, from the beginning, guys, the whole thing was a big nope for me.
Oh, yeah.
Just a big nope. Phew. 13,000 feet, you know, below sea level.
2 miles.
No, thank you.
What, like, it's over 2 miles.
Dude, that's one of those things where, like, are you out of money? And I first and foremost, like, I'm sorry to hear that people died from this.
Yeah, that part sucks.
Very sad. And like, they listened to this guy that didn't know, probably shouldn't have been running this thing. Little sketchy to begin with. But like, come on, man.
What was the first clue?
What are we doing?
Was it the game controller?
Was it
the $10 Logitech?
Was it the like odds and ends parts of it that were picked up at the store?
If money wasn't a factor, would you rather go to the bottom of the ocean or go to outer space?
I think I'd rather go to outer space.
Am I wearing a parachute?
I don't think that matters.
Because underwater, that far, you're just kind of done, you know? With 6,000.
Buddy, I think you're done either way.
Well, I'm going to ride
it. I don't know how you're going to parachute from the atmosphere.
I can get out of this. All right? I can get out of this.
Sam's played so much
They have,
Fortnite.
Like, heat shields when they...
Yeah. So if we still got that, we can at least get down a little ways.
Okay.
A parachute.
Neither of these situations, like... sound enticing to me.
I'd rather go to space.
I think so.
If I'm going to kick the
bucket. It's more tested.
Because I got
more data points.
Yeah.
More people have been to space than to the bottom of the ocean.
Right.
Like, that's fact.
Right.
If I'm going to kick the bucket, like, I don't want it to be in complete darkness. Like,
sure.
At least just let me see the Earth, you know, before I Sandra Bullock my ass into oblivion.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, other than that.
Yeah, like, dude. I was looking at those diagrams of, like, the light and, like, where the light basically starts to go away at, like, 600 feet. It's very faint, and then it's just pitch black.
So
that's wild.
How far did they get?
They were 1,600 feet from the wreck. I don't know if that meant laterally or above.
Right.
So either way, they were down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way further.
2 miles below the surface.
Way further than they should
have. And actually, there were like clues, like evidence that they had tried to start to come up. So they had noticed something was going wrong because they had dropped their ascension weights already and were trying to come up.
It was just a quick implosion then at that point.
Right. So it imploded. Do we know how? Like, why did that happen?
Oh, because of
something failed.
The pressure.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like,
something structurally had
to fail.
The
other six of them didn't.
Yeah. So just fatigue. On the
structure.
Got tired.
On the structure over time.
Didn't tighten that bad boy enough.
Yeah, didn't take a nap.
Just a little sketchy, dude. And even, like, so what blew my mind is that, like, if and when they made it down there, then – there was never actually, there's a little window that you could see, but you're so deep below the sea level that, like, you're not actually seeing it without the lights on the ship. So
right.
They actually have, like, a screen, and you're just watching it on a screen. Like, the ultimate con would have been, you just float them, like, 20 feet below sea level.
No, the 600 feet, so it's totally dark.
Yeah.
And then just flip on the screen.
Flip on the screen.
Like, you guys see this shit?
Look at this.
Have a sound machine in there that, like, makes some weird, like, clinks and clanks once in a while.
Oh, dude, 600 feet deep, you just have another boat down there just dinking the side.
Yeah, sonar.
It's
just for show. Doesn't do anything.
Like, the fact that they paid $250,000, like, what would somebody have? I'm not paying money for this. Somebody would have to pay me. Mm-hmm. And then even then still... And this is one of those where, like, we get into it all the time. Like, how much would somebody have to pay you? You know, and this might be the benefit of hindsight here, but, like, how much
see,
would
now
somebody
this is
have
a different question.
You?
This is a different scenario.
To take a submarine, knowing that there is
knowing
risk,
what I know now.
Knowing what you know now, too.
Mm-hmm.
But even beforehand, like, even not knowing what I know now, you tell me I'm doing this, I don't think I'm just like, yeah, sick. I'll buy the Groupon. Like,
I'm in, dude.
Like, no, man.
On sale?
I don't think I'm in.
They're
at all.
They're paying me for this? What There's got to be a number.
It's the fact that you could die.
Yeah, you never get to spend it.
What? Great.
In a blink of an eye.
He's like $100 million. Okay.
All right. Well.
Does my fam get it if I don't make it back up?
Yeah. What's the criteria? What are the rules? What are the rules?
Life insurance.
God. Yeah, that
Oh, you probably can't collect life
shit.
Insurance. On
yeah,
this, right?
That, I didn't think about that. That was an extreme circumstance.
Yeah, I'm not an insurance guy.
Yeah, me neither.
Do we have a guy? Dr. Josh?
We can find one.
Does Kayla know anything about this?
She might.
Mm.
Yeah.
It super sad. I don't want to make too much light of it. Like, I know
the
internet has done
the memes
for
have
us.
Been
this,
incredible.
The memes have been crazy.
I'm going to hell.
The stats around, like, the overall crushing of it were just crazy to me. So, like, one video of, like, what a tanker does at, like, one atmospheric pressure implosion, and that thing crumbled like a Coke can.
This
thing 6,000. Must have disintegrated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
I they said that there was another set I saw that the energy that occurred when this happened, like, the water in the area basically boiled to the temperature that of, like, the surface of the sun or something. Just like,
oh wow. Yeah, no, that's crazy.
Yeah, just insane
because the pressure and, oh my god, that's nuts.
Not for
superheating those molecules and all that shit.
Science.
Science is gnarly, dude.
Superheating those molecules. Guys,
big words.
We missed NBA draft.
Yep.
Did we though?
Did
by
we
missed
we?
NBA draft, I mean, like, we as the entire city of Chicago, the Bears, phones weren't on. Our Bulls
20 teams missed the NBA draft, dude.
The Bulls. I'll talk to you guys about the Bulls later. But I think I'm in a good place right now with the Bulls.
This makes me happy.
I'm in a good place.
I'm excited for this. This is good.
I know it was 2 weekends ago, but U.S. Open. Were you guys watching much U.S. Open?
Oh, yeah. Loved it.
Wyndham Clark. That golf course was weird.
It was kind of whack.
None of the guys liked it. Did you see all the feedback?
Yeah. Do you know what's crazy to me is that, so the course, some more stats for you. I'm taking over your role, Sam.
No, I love it.
So that course is the second highest valued property in America does not have real estate.
Can you guess the first?
The most expensive, highest valued piece of property.
If the golf course isn't like, doesn't have housing or anything, right? It's just a strip of land, basically.
It's just that piece of property.
What strip of land is valued higher?
Dang.
So you're thinking like big places in a major city somewhere.
It's Central Park.
Central Park, right?
Yeah.
So the golf course is...
I wouldn't have got there. Like, I was thinking the wrong side of the country till you said big city.
Yeah. The golf course is... The property is valued at...
$280 million, I think?
No.
$8
billion.
They should be paying $280 million taxes on something about 280 acres.
So they should be paying taxes on... Like, if you were paying 1% property tax, you'd be paying... What is that?
It's like
$8 million.
All I know is that there's a loophole that they use.
Yeah. So there was a law passed back in like the 60s.
Of course.
That because they're a nonprofit, their property taxes can't go up more than 2% a year. And they've basically been locked in the same property tax rate since the 60s when it was valued at like $2 million. So they're only paying $250,000 a year in property taxes when it should be $8 million a year in property taxes.
These sons of bitches.
Well, and this place tries to be like super fancy. Like, I mean, obviously it's a super fancy course anyways, but like
no celebrities. Over the
top.
Celebrities can't join. You can't be in the
clubhouse.
Stan
Kroenke is a member.
It's basically like owners and like high ranking executives from like these. It's just a rich boys club.
Right.
Like, it's basically what it is.
It's exactly what it is. It's like we're not famous for anything other than being rich.
Right. Yeah.
But it was just like, to get back to the tournament itself, I enjoyed it because I enjoy golf and like I was locked in. But there's something different about like a Sunday, like watching those last couple groups finish up and like everybody's around 17 and 18.
But dude, did you notice how weak the crowd was?
Oh, yeah, because there was only 8,000 people.
The members bought up 23,000 of the tickets or something
that. And like corporate purchases and stuff like that, too.
Yeah, through the members.
Yeah.
And then they just limited the amount of people that way. They wanted to buy all of them.
Yeah, and they
the
didn't
club
let them.
Wanted to buy all of them.
It's just, I don't get
that
it.
Would have been such bullshit. I don't the get U.S. It, like, Open. It's open. U.S. Open. It's like the everyman's golf tournament that people try to qualify for all over the country. Right, and then you're gonna limit who actually gets to see it. Ooh, I don't like that.
Next year, Pinehurst, U.S. Ooh. Open, Pinehurst number 2.
It's coming home.
Yeah, see,
it's
this is
home.
Exactly the same feeling I had when they said that on the broadcast. There's something about like you hear Pinehurst.
There's just certain courses.
Like, do they say it's like the oldest course in the U.S. or it's one of the oldest like courses in the South? What's it famous for? That they say it's like the home of golf or something. Is that where?
It's pine needles.
Oh, I love pine needles. Caleb buys a lot of the plugins for the walls that have that smell. It's really nice. But there's something really important about Pinehurst, and I'm dropping the ball here. Maybe the USGA or the PGA that's their home course. Anything over there?
No.
It's gonna be cool.
It'll be nice to get that roar again. You got what? One more major this season?
Yeah,
you got the Open.
Yeah.
Oh, it says that's where the American golf story is rooted and where it continues to flourish. It's
more single golf championships than any other golf course in America.
Man. All right. Well,
sign me up for a place like that. That everybody's getting not rowdy, but you know, just it's a recognizable course. Like the next U.S. Open that's going to be played at LACC will be like 2043 or something.
Yeah, it's like
that.
13 years from now or something.
So, yeah, there's just certain courses that you always. It's like. almost like in an Olympic event. It's like every 3 or 4 years you go back to this course.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like Pinehurst. What's the one in
Southern Hills? And
Southern Hills is a big one.
Bethpage was always great.
Bethpage usually gets it every once in a while. What's the one I'm thinking of
in Boston,
California?
Country Club was great. TPC,
Torrey Pines, Pebble Beach.
Pebble Beach is what I was thinking of.
Yeah, I love golf. I love golf too, guys. I'm at this point right now. Like, I don't know what's happened to me. I don't know what's happened.
You had
to
a
me.
Son?
Yeah.
Where I want to play golf.
You like mowing the lawn and you like playing golf.
Like for Father's Day, I got a net. Like I got a.
I love you.
Like I got a driving net, and I'm gonna set it up in the backyard, and my neighbors are gonna think I'm a lunatic. Like,
we figured out something on Saturday.
We figured something out. I think that's probably why I'm into golf, because now I'm at the point where like I'm still hitting the ball all over the place, but at least like it's a little more consistently.
You're starting to learn what you're doing wrong.
I think that's the lunacy in golf.
You're not just swinging anymore. You're like, oh, I did this, and that's why that happened.
Yeah. And so now like the narcissist in every one of us, like, or the arrogant person in every one of us is like, I know what I'm doing. I can fix this. No. No.
Untrue.
It's not true at all.
False.
Guys, anything else you guys want to get into? It's been a little while. Anything you guys have on the mind?
No. Anything else happen? Big?
I miss Dale.
Yeah, I miss that guy too.
We'll get our boy back.
It's okay. Father, this is a rite of passage.
The bags. And I just saw him. Yeah, we saw him yesterday.
He's moving slow.
The bags under the eyes. Our guy. You wear him like a badge of honor.
It's, I got him on the cheeks. Oh, dude, I got the secondary down to the cheeks. Anybody there
just
yet?
Just a void.
Yeah.
I'm here, but I'm not here.
We're not a soccer podcast, but Berhalter's back for the men's national team.
Yeah. You just had to get over it. Sometimes you got to get over it. You got to wait for a couple stories to drop, and then we'll just slide this one in. No big deal.
Okay.
US is going to be good.
Huh?
The boys are going to be good.
I got to get a McKinney jersey. But
isn't it spelled differently?
It is.
Guys, let's move on. So no sponsors, no voicemails. Little reminder, if you're looking to sponsor an episode, sponsor the podcast, you just want to leave the boys a little tip, at @DeBareMinimum on Venmo. Tip jar always open. If you're looking to leave a voicemail, you can always send us an audio file. It's DeBareMinimum@gmail.com. You can also just call one of us, text over an audio file. Anything you want, guys. Literally, we'll play anything. Leave it at that. Guys, that's going to be some sports minutes. Go around the city of Chicago, touch base with a couple of our favorite Chicago sports teams. We start with the Chicago Bears. Guys, no news is good news.
Woo!
Right now it's the...
Oh, we got ranked.
Right now it's the portion of the offseason.
We got ranked. We're ranking position groups.
Yep, we're ranking positions, expectations, top 100, mm-hmm. top 25, under 25.
Oh, Jordan Love said some stupid shit.
That was...
Love that. That was fantastic.
How many people do you think, like... Just there should be a checks and balance system for these pro athletes so they don't get themselves made fun of.
He said he did it for a fan.
Yeah, okay.
Somebody it's asked like, him to.
Yeah, because all the Packers fans are like, context. Fuck you guys. You can't read anything.
It's like like scheduling an email almost. Like before you tweet, it should be like scheduled, and then someone has to review it before it's published.
Two-factor verification. Yes.
Yeah, that's
some
good.
PR guy's like, oh, Jordan Love just posted a tweet. Let's see what it is. Nope.
You get partnered with like an anonymous buddy that like whenever you fire off a tweet, it comes through them first and they have to hit approve, like read it.
Yeah. Yep.
For those random checks and balances. Like you don't know who they are.
For those that don't know, Jake, what ended up happening with that?
It was Father's Day and he tweeted a video saying happy Father's Day to all Chicago Bears fans.
Which would imply
we are his father.
Yes. You're welcome, son.
Yeah. It's a real Darth Vader situation.
There's just no way. There's no way the Packers have another one rolling in right now.
It can't. It can't be this guy. Right?
And if it is, it's not him.
I hope he's this like comically dumb. Like it's just like yakety sax when he's playing. Like that would be fun. I feel like we need that.
Just play this to me like week 13. If they're like,
yeah.
If they push our shit.
Just remember episode 78 at like the 19 minute mark.
Play this for me when I'm like on a bridge somewhere.
Yeah.
You guys are trying to get me
down. Yeah, I should log that.
Guys, not much with the Bears going on right now. So OTAs has wrapped up from everything that we heard, at least from what media is allowed to see, and obviously what like we're allowed to see as fans, like pretty good OTA session. Some of the young guys like really got out there and impressed. You got some guys with question marks that didn't do much to improve their standing with the club. So on the rookie side, like guys like Tyler Scott, guys like Gervonta Dexter, Zach Pickens, you know, you got guys like that that we're balling out. We're really making an impression. Darnell Wright already turning heads. Like, guy looks like he's just a pro. One name that is floating out there that people are really impressed with, and I'm with it, is Tyreek Stevenson. That cornerback that we drafted out of Miami. He just looks like a pro, plays at speed. Nothing is too fast, at least to this point. Now, this is when you're going up against your guys. Majority of OTAs, you're practicing in underwear and Under Armour, and, you know, big old foam helmets and stuff. Like, that's really it. Like, I'm excited to see like what an actual camp looks like for some of these guys. And like, you know, what's going to be really nice is when you get those practices with, are we practicing against the Colts, the live practice? Or like
I
the
actually
joint
hadn't looked yet for our,
I think it is the Colts.
I believe it's
our
the
camp
Colts
schedule. This is bad to bare minimum. I haven't even looked at the camp.
It's something
schedule.
Like that. We still have like another 30 days until this little break wraps
when
up.
I start the clock, man.
But I mean, it's one of those where like, that's when you really like those reps are invaluable when it comes to that. But you know, a lot of these guys, I'm excited for what this team could do. I think that it's just a matter of like keeping the reps going. You know, once everybody comes back, I don't want to see anybody's name in the headlines. And yeah, let's get a good camp going, you know?
Yeah. Some of the rankings that came out, Jake, position group rankings. I don't want to read too far into this, but, I will, and I believe Marcos, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they ranked our linebacker group second.
I believe in, it was second.
In the second NFL? Or top five. It was top five.
And I was with it. I had that feeling at first until you kind of start peeling it back a little bit. I think first, and I don't remember whose it was now, but
San
I know
Francisco's.
That the San Francisco 49ers were first. And the Bears were second. Tremaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards, Jack Sanborn had a good promising season.
But the difference between us and the Niners is the defensive front. And the difference between us and the places that our new linebackers came from was they had good defensive fronts, which allowed them to perform a little bit better, a little bit more freely. Sure, we could be if we can. Maybe these rookies that we're putting in at D tackle are gonna ball out. You know, maybe it makes a big difference. Maybe we can be that good. I don't know, but it seems a little bit high.
Well, and with no veterans on the roster besides a guy like Justin Jones, I mean, you don't really have veterans on this roster that are gonna eat up some of those minutes like an Akeem Hicks, like those guys.
Yep,
you know,
yep.
Like this is gonna be their reps. Like Pickens, Dexter, stay healthy.
Yeah,
go out there and get some reps in, right? Because you don't have any veteran that's there that you're competing with. I mean, that kind of opens the door with a couple other positions as well, like wide receivers. You know, that wide receiver room, it's kind of the same thing. Like I kind of hinted at it a little bit with like guys that were in good favor and then kind of falling out of favor with the organization, like Chase Claypool. You're injured again. You know, we're kind of waiting and we're seeing what's going to happen. Are you going to be able to put it together? Like, you're not available right now. You always want to be available. It's just, it's a lot of little storylines like that with these groups that I think, like, as camp rolls out, it's going to be interesting. Super interesting.
That gets me excited. I'm getting a little excited. Can you feel it?
Yeah.
Can you feel it now, Mr. Krabs?
I'm right there.
Art thou feeling it now, yeah. Mr. Krabs?
Yes. So, as far as additions-wise, I would still like to see the Bears be people that are looking to spend money. You still have financially, you still have a floor that you have to get to as far as a spending floor. But even then still, like there's, especially as camp goes and you start to get a couple weeks into camp here and some of these teams start cutting some of these names that, you know, that they're going to be quality guys that they just have tough decisions to make.
Yeah, this business is business decisions.
This is where the Bears and their boatload of money gets in there. You can sign a guy. I think you still need some of those veteran presence guys, but I wouldn't mind a Yannick Ngakoue, a Frank Clark.
Yeah, I'd hate to see them overpay. It'd be nice to have those guys. I mean, you can if you end up overpaying a little because it's a slight bidding war after a cut of a quality player like that. I could see a slight overpay, but man, I just don't want them to reach.
Oh yeah,
I want them to stay true to like what they're doing right now.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't think you're gonna reset the market with any of these additions, anyways. Like, I think the expectation needs to be that this team is gonna be is going to be frisky this year, but not, we not like, great.
We like Frisky.
We love Frisky.
Low expectations.
They're not going to be a great team because this is only like, this is the first year of Ryan Poles. God damn it.
It's
of
okay.
Ryan Poles being able to like really like it's instill his plan.
It's okay.
What was your way too early prediction for wins?
It's okay.
My way too early was, I think it was like 10.
I know he hurt you.
I was like 9 to 10 wins. And that's like, if things go great, I still stand by, like, I think 9 wins. Like,
that's, mine was pretty ridiculous, I think.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
Mine was above 10. It's saved on here. I could pull it up.
Guys, it all comes back to Justin. It all comes back to Justin.
Hell yeah, it does.
And DJ Moore. If this Justin and DJ Moore connection is every bit as, like, spicy as everybody is making it out to be, we're going to have a fun time on Sunday.
Yeah, it sounds like all the beat writers were just standing in a circle around wherever Justin Fields was throwing the ball to DJ
just
at OTAs and just kind of cranking one off.
He sounds like the real deal number one wide receiver that we have not had in this town since Brandon Marshall. And like, Justin, you don't even need to be MVP, Justin, even though you got guys like Orlovsky and, you know, all these people going out there and saying that, like, not all these people, but a lot of people out there,
Orlovsky,
you know, willing to put their necks out and saying that this is the guy and he's going to have an MVP year. You don't even have to have an MVP year.
He's going to be the guy.
Just got to be above average. Every dollar in your bank account right now.
He's the guy.
Every single dollar.
He's the guy.
Will he have a 4,000-yard season? Will he be the franchise's first?
Every dollar in my bank account? Yeah.
This season?
Yeah, fuck it. Why not?
Fuck it. Probably not.
I'd say probably, but I would be lying if I said I feel 100% confident in that. Mm. Like, a lot of this is, that's the hard part with this time of the year. It's a lot of, like, and that's why these lists are deceiving, because you almost have to, like, preface these lists with, hey, I built this list based on the play that I saw on the field last year and up to this point, instead of the feel good, what I should see on the field and what I hope to see.
How many yards did he have last year?
Like 2,400 yards or something like that.
And there were five weeks where he didn't throw the ball.
if he throws for more than 4,000 yards and like still has 1,000 rushing yards, like, we're fucking winning 10 games.
Well, that's MVP territory.
That's exactly. Yeah.
Getting votes.
Significant votes. The yards can't go up that drastically without the rushing yards going down drastically. And I think that's what we want, because like, him becoming more of a pocket passer with the weapon of his legs versus, it felt like,
yeah, but now he does have a receiver. I mean, how many passing yards did Lamar Jackson have that MVP year? I'm looking it up.
Passing yards?
Yeah.
I think he was a 4,000 guy.
He had to have another 1,000 yards plus on the ground.
He did. That was the record.
Yeah, he broke the record that year rushing.
Yeah. Broke Vic's record.
Oh, that's right, because Justin was only like, he's maybe 50
short.
Yards off of it or something like that.
For the single season.
I don't know. I just feel like I said it when we were talking about Justin breaking the record the first time. I don't necessarily want him in contention to break that record every year.
I don't think he wants to be either. You know, he's said that, like, I've never really been a runner before. Like, he was adamant, like, he was quite upfront about that. That he's been a pocket passer. He's done system QB work.
Lamar only had 3,100 yards that year passing.
And then another 1,200
on the ground.
Yeah,
that's still a ton.
I think you're talking about, I mean, four through the air, another 1,000 on the ground. That's a 5,000.
All right, then move the line. 3,800.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic year, and I think we're watching playoff football.
I think so too, right? Mm-hmm. If not, trying to chase the Lions for the division.
We've said it.
Or wild card.
I want week 15, week 16, week 17, when that in the hunt graphic comes up.
Be on it.
I want to be right there.
I want to bear
I wanna
right there.
Be in the hunt.
Be
yeah, but this
AR.
I don't know.
Talk to me.
Like this.
Be the voice of reason.
I think no matter what, we're going to be in the hunt just because the division's so bad. It's like, you're perpetually going to be like just a couple games out. Unless if Jordan Love is the guy, or unless the Lions like really take off.
Is division going to be bad though? Like,
no, I think Lions are going to be a 10-win team, 11-win team.
Dude, that Lions team is stacked.
I actually like that Lions team. I'm happy because it just means that they're probably going to beat up on those other two pieces of shit in our division, which makes me happy.
I think this division always has potential to be shit.
Yeah, for some reason, yeah.
But this division also, in that same vein, with somebody in the Vikings that the Vikings have in Justin Jefferson, I mean, you've still got a good offense, even with the loss of Dalvin Cook there.
I'm with you, but I see a serious regression with the Vikings this year just because they had that negative point differential. And if you...
They just scraped them out.
Yeah, kept scraping out wins, and they're like luck factor. Their predicted luck or whatever that fucking stat is.
No, I think they won
was
like,
ridiculous.
They won like 10 or 11 games last year
by one score.
By one walk off.
Yeah. So like I'm with you guys.
There'll
like
be serious regression there.
But
Packers question mark.
Big question mark.
Depends on Jordan Love. Their defense should be solid still.
I mean, and they've got weapons on offense. There's a big question mark with Jordan Love, but
the person that would distribute the ball to those weapons.
To those weapons. Yeah. You still got AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones.
All I know is that Aaron Rodgers is no longer in town. So you're saying there's a chance.
Two more things on the Bears, and then we'll move on, guys. Hard Knocks, it sounds like...
We're in the running.
Yeah.
I think we'll lose to the Jets, though.
If you ask anybody in the Bears organization, they want to lose to the Jets.
They don't want the cameras in there.
No team wants Hard Knocks, and I don't...
It's invasive.
And maybe this is just me because I'm a fan and I like consuming all types of Bears content, but like...
I want it to.
Dude, what's the downfall here? Like, what am I missing? Like, why wouldn't you want the publicity? Why wouldn't you want your players? And like, it's not like HBO has full say in what goes. Like, as far like the NFL team that gets selected has final decision on editorial stuff. Like, you can decide what goes in and what goes out. So you don't want that big blow up in off season. You don't want that contract dispute. Like, you don't want the Jalen Johnson contract dispute making it on. You don't have to. But like, what's the issue here?
Now that I think about it, it probably has more to do with, you know, the chemistry. Like, you're trying to get everybody together and you're trying to meld this team, right? You're trying to set this vibe, but then you have this weird elephant in the room the whole time. It's probably not comfortable. It probably kind of keeps the whole team from kind of blending together that way, that it might be conducive to a winning season and building that chemistry with your teammates. That's the only thing I can kind of think of, is that it's disruptive. Even if you do get to choose what stays and what goes, I think, wouldn't you be annoyed? Like, say we had someone here who doesn't know us, like this crew doesn't know any of you guys personally, and you barely know half your teammates personally yet, and you've got to try and go through camp that way. I don't know.
I do get that, like, it could be a distraction, and it could be a distraction for any team. And, like, I think the Jets are probably the better story because of Aaron Rodgers, you know, and that nut job, and, like, just it's New York media. They've got a built defense. Their offense is really good. They were just missing that piece. So I think that that's probably a good team in the way that the NFL should go. But it just really puts me off that, like, the Bears are so turned off by this.
I think if we have one of those seasons this year, the frisky season that we're describing, where you get to 9 wins, you know, or maybe even squeak out 10 or even 8 wins, you're on the cusp of something, and everybody can tell that you're on the cusp of something. You've got some good draft capital coming into this year. It's almost a guarantee that it's us next year.
Yeah. And then one last thing on the Bears, guys. Bears officials meeting with Arlington execs again, circling back. This is what we said it was going to be. It will, like, more than likely, because demolition has already started.
You're telling me it's not going to be in Naperville?
It's not going to be in Naperville.
Are you sure?
It's not going to be in Rockford.
Not in Rockford?
Not Waukegan.
No.
No Carbondale.
Dang.
You imagine?
Carbondale.
We're going end to end, boys.
The Danville Bears.
The normal Bears. The guys, Shambana Bears.
Anything else on the Bears you want to get into? Then let's move on. We get into the Chicago Blackhawks. Producer Jake, take it away.
What's up, dude? Fellas.
Saw, dude.
Fellas, a lot going on.
Talk to me.
A lot going on.
You just are so happy now.
It's fucking great. What a great time to be a Blackhawks fan.
You cheeky fuck.
Oh, man. That 1 year was real dark, but holy shit.
Worth it?
Worth it. Yeah, I mean, we got the draft coming up on Wednesday. The Blackhawks made a trade today, acquiring Taylor Hall, former number 1-1, And Nick Foligno.
Oh, that's a name I know.
Yeah, former Blue Jacket. He was captain of the Blue Jackets for a long time, so you got some like leadership there. Taylor Hall won an MVP once with the Devils. He's had like a tumultuous career. I mean, drafted 1-1 by the Edmonton Oilers and like didn't live up to the hype.
It's tough.
Didn't have a good career there. Eventually got traded. He bounced around. He went to like the Sabres. He went to the Devils where he played really well. Devils, then he got Devils, traded Devils. To the Bruins.
Holy
so
shit.
I think we have him under contract for like another year. I think it's a perfect guy to come in, and when you're drafting the one and a guy has so much hype around him
and gone through it all,
and this guy's gone through it all. Now you got this guy who was that, had that hype, failed, and then also came back. I think it's a perfect guy to like come in and like and help with that. So not only on the leadership side of things, but also still a pretty good hockey player. He played 60 games for the Bruins last year. He has some injury history, so he could get hurt at any time. But I think it's a really good fit for this type of team. Nick Foligno, kind of a throw-in. He's an so we basically just acquired the rights to him. He's an unrestricted free agent currently. So we just get dibs at contract.
You give him like a qualifying offer type deal.
So he's like 34, going to be 35 or something. Older dude. But
don't you need some of these guys in a young locker room?
Especially,
you don't have your Keiths anymore.
It's a real
young
locker room. And like Taves is gone now too. I mean, I think Foligno will be the oldest guy in the room this point.
You need like a grown up in the room type
deal
almost.
And from all what I've heard, the dude's just awesome. He's a big boy. Like if you want someone to protect Connor.
That's like what we said. What's the first thing you do?
Yeah,
you go out and you find two of the biggest fucking goons you can find.
Taylor Hall's a big boy too, and Taylor Hall is probably definitely going to be playing with him. You know, same line, being his winger. I traded Ian Mitchell, who I was really hyped for when we drafted him, but he just never became anything. Just a bad Bowman pick, basically.
Mm. Did you trade any draft picks to get these guys? Whoa.
Well, hold on.
So you make two good acquisitions for the team and you still keep all of your draft picks?
Yes.
Was this like a cap situation where they needed to get out of money or something?
Yeah, they need. So Taylor Hall is like raking in like 5-6. I have his contract here.
That's kind of big for hockey numbers.
So he's getting.
Isn't that crazy?
He's getting
money for one
like
year.
Like a baseball contract.
His cap hit is $6 million.
And Taves
and so we have him for this year and next year. So that's good for us. So we have him for 2 more years. And even with this acquisition, the Blackhawks still are $15 million away from the cap floor.
So we got more moves to make.
We have so much money to spend. Because you're not going to, I mean, Connor's rookie deal is going to be like $3 million.
And we get that for, is that like a four with a fifth year option type deal?
Just,
is it similar
straight,
to football?
Nope, just straight up 3 years.
Okay.
3 years and then he's a restricted free agent at that
point.
So
basically you see how he's doing after 2 years and you try to sign him.
Yeah, you can get an extension there. Yeah. But, I mean, they still have more, like, they have to physically go buy more players when free agency opens. Which hasn't happened yet.
Because they got to get up to the floor.
Right.
Good God, dude.
$15 million from the floor still.
This team will look drastically different than the last group that skated together the last game of the season.
Yeah, if they want to be serious, they still do need a goaltender.
Yeah, what about defensemen? Like, how
defensemen,
we doing?
You're going to need some D-men. Like, because right now you're just rocking Seth Jones and Connor Murphy, I think. Is he even still on the team?
Does Connor Bedard... see, like, is he on the opening day roster?
My guess is he is. So he's a small
line though, like
whatever Taylor Hall's like. <I don't know.
laughs>
Okay,
too far in the future.
Okay, yeah, I don't know yet. I mean, we'll still have to see how he like performs at camp and everything. But I mean, they did the combine. The dude beat everybody in the pull up.
I've never seen anybody more Canadians, dude. And I mean, just hockey fans because you guys are all Canadian, even if you're not.
Yeah.
Like, just excited about pull ups.
So
I feel like any 17-year-old can beat everyone
pull-ups.
In pull ups. Like, come on.
Like 14 pull ups, eh, bud?
Yeah, your BMI is zero, dude, because you're still growing. What the hell?
he maxed out the VO2 bike test, which is just like
what?
Your oxygen intake level.
Because he's a child.
So it's just a big cardio thing, basically. Like, how big's your motor, basically? Can you...
Big motor. I did see that. So there's got a diesel. There's people in the league that believe that, like, the day Connor Bedard, like, actually joins the league and he is on NHL ice, he has the best shot in the league.
Oh.
Like, the best shot in the league, hands down.
So he shoots like Matthews. He skates like McDavid.
I mean... No, don't stop. Keep going.
So...
The thing on his shot
was when he was a kid.
Crosby.
He broke his hand. He broke his bottom hand near his growth plate. And the doctor's like, yeah, you probably shouldn't like shoot a hockey puck. Because like your bottom hand is like a big, you know, factor in your shot, right? He basically learned how to shoot just with a top hand. And so like the guy can just shoot from anywhere, basically.
That's weird.
Yeah, he's...
They're going to start training kids like that at a certain point. If he does really blow up like how they think he's going to...
Dude, I remember watching videos of Connor McDavid, like, doing these crazy, like, balancing drills. He's, like, standing on, like, two medicine balls or something like that. Like, and he's
balancing
just,
a China cabinet on
stick,
his head.
And he's just stick handling the whole time while doing these like crazy balance drills.
You showed me one. I think he was doing that and like giving an interview at the same time or something, like talking to somebody.
Well, it's just second nature to him.
Professional athletes, dude.
Yeah.
Not to mention hockey players in general. They're just psychos.
So the draft is on Wednesday. So Connor won, and then we have a pick at 19, and then we have like 3 second round picks. There's a lot of potential here.
It's deep for like solid players.
Deep in forwards. Not a lot of defensemen lurking out there, apparently. I don't know.
Gotta go get some of those Swedish.
You're gonna lather.
You're just gonna reload the farm, which is already pretty good. I mean, you're just gonna have a lot to work with.
I just picture Jake like with a towel around his waist and like going to the fridge and grabbing a Gatorade. Just being like, woo,
woo.
Have you been wearing that headband
tuckered out?
Time? Jake, anything else in the Hawks?
No. Nothing I can think of.
Then we move on to the Chicago Cubs. Sammy Stats, you want the Cubs?
Sure.
Take it away.
You want to help me out?
Yeah. So Cubs split 1-1 against the Cardinals in London.
They did.
Third in the NL Central.
But we're only 3 games back.
With a good series here coming, this is a good litmus test here. Like, is this smoke and mirrors, or is this team actually good?
I think if you look at the run differential and strength of schedule, they're actually a solid baseball team. They're not World Series caliber baseball team, but they are. You know, we had this talk early in pre-baseball season, our little preview thing when we were talking, looking at the win totals and all that fun stuff. I think they are going to be a low 80s, low mid 80s at best, but the Phillies went to the World Series with like 86 wins last year. So, I mean, I'm not saying we're going to the World Series. I'm just saying it's nice to see solid baseball. They've got one of the best defensive infields in the league. So it's just fun. It's fun to see that. A lot of strikeouts still, but.
Well, and even still, so you got best defensive infield. You really have a good defensive team in general. You've had
Gomes is even solid behind the plate.
You've had Tauchman, that he's been a cool story, an older guy that comes out and plays, and he's been a journeyman, and he comes out and gives you good time while Bellinger's been nursing an injury.
Yeah, this has all been without Belly, too, who was playing MVP caliber baseball when he got hurt.
You got Chris Morel is kind of moving all over the place. Nick Madrigal's had a little resurgence there, too. I think that this is just going to be a big stretch of games for these Cubs, because you see what you got 3 against the Phillies, you got 3 against the Guardians, 4 against the Brewers in Milwaukee, and then you get 3 against the Yankees. So we're going to know here in the next week and a half, 2 weeks, like, we'll know what this team is. But you keep getting starting pitching like you've gotten from Stroh, from Steele, Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah,
looks like
he's
back.
He's figured
himself.
A little something out.
Smiley's been looking Smiley's good.
Reliable.
I mean, it's just, and then you've got like.
You've got Wisniewski just like figuring it out still. He's young.
I've liked the change to Alzolay.
Oh, he's figuring it out too.
These high leverage situations and being the closer. I think that's the issue a lot of times with these, like, with these young pitchers, especially when you ask them to be starters, is like figuring out how to manage your workload and your volume. But you don't want to gas yourself too quick. So a lot of times when you're a starting pitcher, you need to like keep some in the tank, because I can't throw it all this inning because I've got to come out for five or six more, depending on
how. Don't sprint. Don't sprint.
You bring that guy in, he's got electric stuff.
Yeah,
inning, dude. He's that looks like it's the perfect spot for him.
It's nasty. It's everything bends, everything runs. He's a lot of fun. So I agree with you there. I'd like to continue, or I'm excited to see him continue to move into that, you know, form, that closer form, even a setup guy. But I'm loving what I'm seeing there.
So recently, then I don't remember who it was that reported. I think it was Nightingale, but basically said that the Cubs and everybody in the front office are okay with being buyers at the deadline.
Yeah,
and I think legitimately,
if it warrants it.
I think legitimately at this point, the Cubs have showed you and proven to you over almost half a season that like you guys should be buyers. Like this team could probably be a little better if you had, like, you bring me Matt Chapman.
Oh,
you throw Matt Chapman on this team
and move Wisdom off of out of third base.
You find, like, go get a cheaper Aldis Chapman again. Let's do it all over again. I was already okay with it one time. Let's just do it again.
Yeah. You fucking play the hits.
You bring in an arm. you bring in somebody like that, dude. I'm excited at the idea of them acknowledging that, like, hey, we could spend a little and we could try to make ourselves better. The division's open.
It is.
You're three games back.
God, are the Reds fun right now, too. Like, yeah. I can't even be mad. It's just fun.
But Ellie De La Cruz, is he sustainable?
He looks Dude's like a awesome. Toothpick, but he is electric.
Is it sustainable? Like, I mean,
so fast.
And I just say it because he's in our division. Like,
that ball had a family.
Like, yeah,
great call.
Just good. It's an all-time call.
Incredible, man.
Call. Yeah, he's been a good story. I just don't know. I mean, I'll trust the Reds when the season ends. Like,
yeah,
not enough to see it right now. You know.
Yeah, it's nice talking about the Cubs with a smile on my face. I'll at least say that. You know, that hasn't happened in, you know, beginning of the season, first 3 weeks, smile on my face, and then there was a month there. Where it's just kind of like, meh.
It was an all-time bad May.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
All-time bad May followed by a really, really good
June. Yeah, what about a comeback? I think, three games back. We're the only team in the division with a positive run differential. We're plus 32. Everyone else is at least minus 16. Pittsburgh minus 44. Oof. But, you know, what are you going to do? So that's nice to see. My biggest thing I'm looking forward to is to see how, you know, we can try and court Shohei at the All-Star game, you know, figure that out.
Sign me up.
Sorry. You know, pipe dreams.
Sign
pipe dreams.
Me.
I had one more thing about the Cubs. It's going to escape me now, but
I just want to see what the Cubs are to win the NL Central. I know
Pete Crow
this.
Armstrong moved up into the top 10 list for prospects in baseball. So that's cool.
Cubs plus 300 to win the division.
Oh, yeah, I bet them at the beginning of the year to win the division. My cash out is already double what I put down.
Oh, good for you.
That's 100% return on investment.
I'm considering it.
Now let it ride.
I might because...
Let it ride at this point. Let it ride.
I'm going to ride.
What was the juice?
Don't worry about it.
Oh. No, I mean, what was the, like...
Oh, I got
not what your wager was. What was the...
Hold, please.
Okay.
While I'm looking that up, though, we enjoy the Cubs.
I like the Cubs.
Jake, what's up with you?
You're such a professional. Jake, what's going on with the White Sox?
A little good, a little bad.
Sometimes maybe good.
Sometimes maybe shit. I mean, we're kind of still in the same spot we were the last time we spoke. We're six games back. 11 games below 500. Yikes. We don't have a positive run differential.
What is positive about your team?
Luis Robert is cool.
Oh, he's very cool.
You guys should sell him.
He hits bombs.
We're interested.
He hits bombs. He's cool. Very cool. Joe Kelly's cool. Very cool. Very cool.
Sell him.
Lucas Giolito. Very cool. Very cool.
I'm doing the Joe Kelly face right now.
Oh.
Dylan Cease?
Dylan Cease is cool.
Sell him. Giolito? Did you just say that
I
one?
I said Gio's
Did I miss
cool.
that?
Yeah, okay. Gio's cool. Liam's back on the IL.
Jake
hurt his
Berger
elbow.
Was pretty cool
Jake,
for a while.
No, still cool.
Oh, he's still cool?
It's still cool. I think he's got like 18
he's
home
got
runs.
Got a bunch.
17 home runs.
But you talk about like all these guys that are pretty cool, and I
What's
would tell
on?
You then that like this team's got to be pretty good, right? Like,
yeah, you know.
So where does that put us?
They really should be pretty good.
I'm checking the numbers.
Which is just the most frustrating thing. Because it's just like.
Tough.
Doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Do you know what it is? Like, Luis Robert, Jake Berger are mashing the ball. This is the second time in 2 weeks the White Sox had a four-run home run
plus
game.
Plus 600.
And they were all solo nice. Shots. Like. Nobody's getting on base. What we really need is Tim to be Tim Anderson again. I don't know what the fuck happened.
Yeah, that
here.
Seems to be the missing juice.
Yeah, I mean, he was a 350 hitter, and now he's like a 250 hitter. And he's just not, and he's hurt all the time, so he's not on base.
And
you know?
He just, even when he's out there, dude, he doesn't look like he's having fun.
No. No, and like
that might be over, you know.
The middle infield defense is bad between the two of them, between him and like Elvis gets trotted out there every day, and he's batting like 200.
He's a glue guy though.
Yeah, but it's like you knew you had a problem at second base in the year, and you didn't fill that hole. You went out and got the wrong outfielder. Benintendi's like fine, but there's like Michael Conforto is like. Mashing 20 home runs already.
Yeah, Benintendi doesn't hit home runs.
He has one.
Yeah, I could have told you that.
No, he does. Like he did. He did.
Yeah. On the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Which was before the Royals, which was before the Sox.
Well, I mean, he's only been in the league for like 7 years.
You guys are running on just wrong scouting reports.
Yeah, it's
yeah, they're doing it by fax, and no one can find them. And then when they find the pile of papers, they're like, oh, here they are. Here's the numbers. They're already 4 years old.
It's like the 2018 baseball prospectus. And you guys
like, Jerry, get us modern equipment.
They're in a weird spot where it's like, so we're a month away from the trade deadline. And
you're 10 games under 500.
I only see two options.
But you're only six games back.
Either Rick is gone at the end of the season and he goes out and buys, or he's going to keep his job and Jerry lets him go and sell and we just do this all over again.
But like, are you trusting Kenny and Rick and all these guys to be the guys that are leading this rebuild?
Why are you asking me?
I mean, I'm not you, but okay.
I just stated what Jerry, if he's going to keep him, is going to let him rebuild. Like,
I can't believe that he would let them rebuild.
Oh my God, you've given up.
You can't believe that? You can't believe that? Jerry Reinsdorf being loyal to his guys?
Yeah.
What happened to you?
What do you mean?
Something switched in you.
This is just the most clarity Jake's ever had.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. I need some more like irrational Jake.
Well, it's just, I mean, it's chaos because we're six games back still. Like,
I know.
So feasible.
So weird.
It's just sitting right there. And it's all because the Minnesota Twins are still 500 and no one else is. Like,
this is the best.
You play your own division. Like, we just win against each other, basically, is what I'm seeing. Nobody wins against other teams.
Somebody's going to have to go to the playoff side of this division.
Someone. And lose to Chex Records, the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah,
God damn, they're good.
That's a playoff team.
You know, it's like
that's the hard part with your guys' position is like even if you get hot for a couple games and you end up sneaking into the playoffs, no part of this team like they haven't put it together in the last year and a half, the better part of 2 years.
No,
what would ever make you think that like they're gonna put it together? Then you might as well just sell everybody.
Yeah, seriously, man,
just sell. You don't have a farm system anymore. Like some of your assets are not going to be worth anything more than they're not worth more than what they're worth right now.
Could
like,
be worse.
Lucas Giolito, you look like you were just going to have to let him go at the end of the year.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Nothing.
He had a resurgence. That's for sure.
Like Gio, you're going to have to get rid of guys like that. I mean, and then you got to start looking at like, okay, what player is going to get me the most back?
Mm-hmm.
Sell a guy like Luis Robert. I know it sucks. It'll break your heart to do it. But if you can reload a little bit of your farm system there,
because it's empty.
I don't think it's not going to break my heart. This fucking team.
He's broken.
Guys, if you take 2005 out of the equation, the Chicago White Sox have never, and I look at me, never won a playoff series.
Wait, what?
That is a correct statement. Because they didn't have series.
Oh, back in the 50s.
Was it?
70s?
Before that.
One of them.
They went to the...
They just had pennants.
They went to a World Series somewhere in there.
They just had a pennant game, and then you went to a World Series. Like,
you're right, yeah.
And they didn't win those. Because it was 1906.
Cups.
And 2005. Or 10? 1910? 1908? Whatever.
What was that?
Anyways, they've never won a playoff series outside of 2005.
That's fucked up,
The more time passes after 05... the more of an anomaly it becomes. Like,
oh, they only lost one game in the entire playoff run.
That is the definition of running the fucking table.
They were a 99-win team, and they only lost one game. The starters
in
the ALCS, the starters threw four straight complete game
and one of them was a loss. There was a complete game loss in between.
In the
Because it went to the
10th.
Or it wasn't a complete game. He still pitched 9 innings. I think it went to the 10th.
It was the divisional series because they lost one to the Angels.
Just the most absurd starting pitching stats in the playoffs you've ever seen.
I'm at the point where I feel bad for you guys. Like,
That's fucking rude.
I feel bad for you. I mean, legitimately, I feel bad for Sox fans. Like,
coming from where we've been.
Oh, yeah.
They have the... the highest differential of attendance in the worst way.
Meaning when good teams are in town, the place fills up?
No, in comparison to last year. They're down in attendance by 30%.
Gotcha. Oh. I misunderstood that completely.
Well, I mean,
so what happens when you promise a product and then don't deliver the product?
It could be worse. You could be the Oakland A's.
Yeah, but even the A's have LA to, or Las Vegas to look forward to.
Yeah,
the Sox have,
but they're
nothing
still
to look forward to.
Their payroll is $43 million
until Vegas, and then it'll
46.
No, that'll be
49.
That'll be with the
say when
with the DraftKings and sponsorships and everything else.
Get some cash running into John Fisher's pocket, and he'll take his fingers off the checkbook. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, the White Sox are like Detroit.
Did you listen to the last episode?
Last episode?
Yeah. Where it was just Marcos and I?
I did not.
The gripe I had with Jerry. So, motherfucker, for all the listeners, again, this motherfucker had... And I'm sure he wasn't even in the meeting, but I can only assume, with everything I know, it was him. It was season ticket holder appreciation day.
Oh, that's right.
Was held on a Tuesday... at 1 p.m. when everybody's at work.
A Tuesday
at 1 p.m. Season ticket holder appreciation day got you like 25% off everything at the ballpark. Food, merch, drinks. Like, everything at the ballpark was 25% off if you were a season ticket holder. And he said, fuck you guys. This is a 1 o'clock game on a Tuesday.
Jesus Christ. That's...
It just sums it up.
God damn it.
It sums it up.
I heard the White Sox rant for the first time.
Oh, really?
Week.
Birdo?
Like when he called in. When he called in and he didn't. Like, it was the most incredible thing I'd ever heard. I can't believe it's because I'm a 670 guy. And so I hadn't heard it yet. So then when I saw the clip circulating on Instagram and I was like, oh, ESPN 1000? Yeah, I'll bite. So I watched it and it was incredible. Didn't miss a beat.
It's up there with the best speeches of all time.
It had to be. He was shooting from the hip, and it was perfect.
It's I have a dream.
Perfect.
Birdo.
Yeah.
One for one.
Brother.
You got to do a 1A and a 1B. You got to do a 1A and a 1B. That's uncomfortable. I don't like that. Let's do submersible jokes again.
Guys, let's wrap up the White Sox here. Let's get into the Chicago Bulls here. I spoke to you guys of clarity. And I know now. We're just cursed. It's okay. I'll accept my place in basketball fandom. I know I'll never have a team like the Nuggets that are built through the draft, that you find the MVP in the league in the second round, that you hit on an outside of the top 10 pick, that you hit on a guy like Michael Porter Jr. I know that my team's not going to be that. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. Like, because I'm not gonna change it. I can't change it. They don't listen to me. They don't listen to us. What did we say? We said go get shooting. We've said for years, in a league that's modern, that's modernizing itself, that is going away from the big man and is going to nothing but scorers, shooters, and ball handlers. That's it. That's it. And what are we? Dalen Terry. So we draft Dalen Terry. Okay. What can't Dalen Terry do? He can't shoot.
Can't shoot.
He can't shoot. So can't it's okay. Because we don't have a draft pick this year, right? Uh-huh. We don't have a draft pick. But hey, we're going to stick to our guns and our process. And we found a guy in Julian Davis. We want Julian Davis. So we're going to give up some capital and we're going to go get Julian Davis. What can't Julian Davis do? Can't shoot.
You know, it's almost like.
You said we're cursed.
You know,
we're cursed, bro. We're cursed. We're cursed. Our athlete, point guard's knees, we're cursed. Derek's knees, dead. Lonzo, guys, Lonzo might not ever play again. AK already came out and said, we don't expect him here all season. The Bulls at this point are looking at Lonzo's remaining money as an asset in a trade. You can trade him. You can trade this man's soul. We'll trade you his soul, the idea of this man, the silhouette of this man. And then it's gone. Then don't worry. That's what we're selling. We're selling promise. You guys could be good because of our misfortunes. That's what we're selling.
You're selling snake oil.
We're cursed.
I love that we've gotten to cursed territory.
We're cursed.
Like that's where we're at.
What were you going to say, Jake?
Yeah, sorry. I was going to say that maybe their ideology is that everything is like cyclical, right? Everything comes back around.
Water, man.
All that, you know, like. History repeats itself, stuff like that. They're just ahead of the game for the big man game coming back. We're just going to keep drafting the big man. Mm-hmm. And then when everybody's like, 3-pointers were cool. We're done with that. We're going back to small ball.
Back to 90-point finals?
Yes.
Okay.
We're playing defense. We're posting up.
Yeah.
Two big men at all times.
This would make DeMar's mid-range jumper relevant again.
Exactly. We are prepping for 90s ball to return.
Jake figured it out. Just waiting for a Diesel to come through the draft.
Yeah.
We're good. Zion needs somewhere to go. He's not a true big, but come on. Now let's just beef this team up. I'd love to see him lean all the way in.
Let's be the heaviest team in the NBA.
Yeah.
Be like what the Pelicans did a couple years ago between Boogie and
Anthony Davis.
Yeah. Or like Rudy Gobert. And
heaviest team in the NBA.
Mind you, by the way, neither one of those teams that went Twin Tower methods won.
Yeah,
or
anything.
Even worked, even a semblance of working.
They just
The Timberwolves
fought
had an all-time
each other.
Bad season because of that concept.
The Bulls are going to need like the goaltending rule to be revoked. And then you can just start swatting three-pointers out of like anywhere.
Yeah.
Cursed.
No easy buckets.
Guys, no easy buckets.
In all seriousness, like the issue with this
team. Oh, we're
getting
serious again?
Or they're just going to have to remove the three-point line.
Oh. Yeah, what if the Bulls are just like, there isn't a three-point line on our court? So every home game, like it's our court, home court advantage, no three-point line.
Just don't draw the three-point line.
They actually get rid of the exclusion zone or whatever that is. Down under the basket,
the
restricted
area.
Yeah, they just get rid of that too. They're just like, fuck it.
I kind
of
like just remove
house rules, baby.
Yeah.
Ooh.
When you're in our house.
House rules.
Yeah.
I really like this
version. Call your own fouls, too.
I like this version of the NBA. We're like, it's like home court advantage to another level. Every team's got like something.
First to 91.
Yeah.
Win by two.
No tip-ins.
There's a 5-point shot dot. Like, yeah, Steph Curry just parked on it.
Steph's open. You can't see him because there's
50 feet away.
There's 7-8 footers like around him.
Guys, it's not good for the Bulls. Like the team, the way this team is constructed right now is not good.
You have to go down and back. There's only one hoop.
Yeah.
You got to take it off.
You got to take it to half court.
Take it back.
You have to check up every time to the other team. They're like,
all right, guys, ball in.
Damn, Chicago has just leaned all the way in.
You really need shooting, and with no money because of all the money tied up in Alonzo and Vooch, and you just paid Zach LaVine, like you're going to have to find ways to get creative and add shooting through free agency because you couldn't do it through the draft. Your best bet is going to be
scout like the Miami Heat do. Oh,
and I wonder how feasible this even is, because I've tried to convince myself now for like the last couple of days that like this would be the route, that like the smart route to take. But like, do you trade Zach LaVine and something else and the rights to Lonzo Ball Do you trade him to Toronto? And do you get Fred VanVleet?
They were talking about Portland.
I'm just not convinced.
Trade to Portland. Do you trade Zach to the Knicks? And do you get a package of like RJ Barrett and Obi Toppin and some picks?
I'm just with you that we're cursed. I'm not convinced that we're actually going to get anything of like real like value or substance.
I don't think so either, because at this point I question, and it's crazy how fast they were able to do this, but my confidence and my faith in Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley is as low as it was towards the end of the Garpax era. Like, and I know it's quick and it might be recency bias, but like, for other bad things that Garpax did, like, they did hit on a couple of things too. Like, there was some good. I haven't really had much good. Like, Io was a good story.
Here's the thing. Jerry Reinsdorf's the owner.
It's back to this.
So
yeah.
You're going to have Carsonova for another, like, 6 to 8 years.
Jake's like, I'm an expert.
Carsonova.
Yeah. Carsonova. What is it?
Carsonova. Casanova.
Casanova Frankenstein. What is this?
You're going to have AK for another 6 to 8 years.
Jake is an expert on Jerry Reinsdorf. So.
Oh, did you guys watch the end of like the post-free agency or post-draft press conference?
Oh, nothing out of it.
Legitimately, nothing out of it. 25 minutes of just literally they could have sat there with their balls in their hands. And like, nuts in one hand and just fingers pointing at the camera lens at the other one. Just like, eat shit. That's how I felt listening to those two guys talk.
Exactly,
like,
dude,
they're not telling me anything. No. There's no direction with this franchise.
The radio had a field day with
it's
it.
It's crazy.
If Jerry, so Jerry had 2005 with the White Sox. He lucked into Michael Jordan at 3 with the Bulls.
Yep. He lucked into Derrick Rose.
That never happens.
And even if those two things never happened, the greatest accomplishment that Jerry had as an owner of two franchises would have been the 2010s Chicago Bulls, where we still did nothing because Derrick Rose's knee exploded.
He couldn't get past LeBron.
Two or three times.
That's what it was.
But, I mean, like, he would have – he'd probably – take those two things out. He's the worst franchise owner in sports.
Oh, I think Jerry should be spoken about, like
– more publicly about this?
With
Kenny
that.
Williams. Kenny Williams, name one person in sports that has retained their job longer –
without a playoff win.
Not even.
That's
fuck,
all
just,
I'm thinking
just
about.
Just retain. What? Bill Belichick?
Oh, yeah.
Who
he's got
in
a long
sports
leash.
Yeah.
Has retained their job longer
than
Kenny Williams? And he's done jack shit.
He must get paid like nothing.
I'm sure you can look
at him. No, I'm sure he does. But I'm just trying to think of reasons why Jerry would. He says he's a yes guy, isn't he?
Money.
Is he a yes
money.
Guy?
Money.
I don't know a ton about
because
Kenny.
They make Jerry money
by not spending money.
By not spending money, by being just good enough to keep us all interested.
Because one could argue that spending money in baseball can make you a lot of money.
See, the issue with Jerry is he's rich because of the teams,
right?
Like.
Bought in
he
for 20 million.
He bought them for nothing, and now the economy's grown, and these teams, like sports in general, have grown. So all his money has now basically come from these sports franchises. It's kind of the same thing with the McCaskies and the Bears. Like,
their
fortune is from this team. It's different than when a billionaire comes in and buys the team, already has that money, and they're just playing.
And this is their fun.
They're just playing around. It's just business to them. They don't give a fuck if they win. They just care if they make money. That's why when everybody's handing out these massive contracts, they're pissed because they're like, I don't want to pay that. I like the days when I was paying guys like $50,000.
And a pack of smokes.
Right.
Like,
can we go back to that? Why are we paying these guys so much?
Yeah, Jesus Christ. You're exactly right. That's what it is.
He's cry poor.
It's not his. He doesn't get excitement. His passion isn't there for the winning.
Yeah. Well, and there's
no matter what he says.
Well, and there's even like in that press conference, like Arturis Karnišovas then says, like, AK basically says that they've been given the green light from the front office to get into the luxury tax. Like, yeah, dude, blow me. Like, I'll fucking, yeah. I'll believe it when I see it. Like, okay. there's no way.
You're going to get into the luxury tax by paying five dudes, like, yeah. little bits and pieces, rather than just going out and getting a goddamn superstar. The whale.
You're going to get yourself into a financial, like, headlock then, because I don't trust the guys to bring in the right guy. And then where are we back? This, in all seriousness, this Lonzo Ball injury, like, and the combination of the Lonzo Ball injury and the awful Vooch trade probably set the Bulls franchise back a decade.
Oof.
Like, not even kidding. It's going to take years.
Damn.
To get ourselves out of this.
You're so right.
So there's everything on the Bulls that you need to know. I'll keep watching because I love them, but they make me so sad.
You know how, like, I mentioned Miami just being able to scout? Like, Max Strus played in our backyard at DePaul.
Oh, he was on the Bears.
He was on the Bulls, the Windy City Bulls.
G League team.
Yeah. And just walks there, and so we just don't like shooters.
Yep, just don't like them. That is what it is. We'll keep playing, like Jake said, we'll keep playing 1980s, 1990s basketball.
Hell
while
yeah,
everybody
brother.
Else gets better, and this is what we'll get. Guys, anything else on the Bulls you want to get into?
Nope.
Then let's move on. Little Sammy Stats question of the week.
Guest ask.
It's me.
Questioner. Guest questioner.
Guess what? I'm back.
It's your boy.
Guys, I heard this on the radio today, and it kind of fucked with my brain all day because I legitimately don't know what my answer is. Would you rather know when you're going to die or how you're going to die? I think it's how, but I think I can be convinced that it's not how. So my thing is, like, if it's how and they tell me you die in a car accident,
you're never going to drive again.
I'm just not going to drive
right,
again.
Right.
But I've seen Final Destination.
You'll be riding, like, a bicycle. You're going to get smoked by a car.
As we sit here right now, like an airplane carrying
a car. A train carrying cars.
Yeah.
Derails. And goes through your house.
Yeah. So, yeah. like, you know, you get struck by lightning, I'll just chill in the basement. Like,
Your basement floods.
It would be nice to know.
The lightning electrocutes.
When.
Because then you can just live it the fuck up.
Oh, then I...
Well, yeah, then
I
you,
mean, I'm
then
already
you,
living.
Well, then you can know, like, how to budget.
And we can have a party.
You know?
We can have a... Maybe that's what kills you.
The 2065 investment fund or the 2045,
right.
you know, target date. We're going to...
smooth that needle a little bit.
I'm thinking when. Because then,
yeah.
then you can really budget for the good time. You know? Like...
We're going to make this work.
You know, how am I really going to save for 40 years? Or are we just gonna blow this shit out of the water right
gonna
now?
Gonna keep putting off that country club membership?
You said 0% for how long? Got it.
Well,
book it.
Well, then you get into this. Okay, I'm getting real deep here.
You usually do with these.
So then okay, so you know you're gonna die in like 10 days, and then you're like, I'm gonna blow all my money away, and then you spend like your last $250,000 going to the bottom of the ocean. Only and so your downfall was knowing when you're gonna die.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's kind of fucked up if they're like, if you know how you're gonna die, and they're like, submarine.
That's you're real, like, Shakespearean of you.
Well, then I'm gonna get on the submarine. You imagine if you took that trip like 2-3 times.
It's not this one.
It wasn't this one.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
I'm already out $500,000, dude.
It's my third mortgage I've taken out of my house.
Was it a different submarine?
Yeah, I think it's...
Shit.
I think it's when. But how would be a nice piece of information.
How, but it could be so vague. You know, like...
So
like
heart failure. Right, it's like, shit.
Or, yeah. But like you said, like... Yeah, like car accident. It's like, well, shit. I guess... It could be anything. Like, it could be, and like, I'm just going to be terrified to be in a car now.
I just become Jake Gyllenhaal. Like, I'm Bubble Boy.
Bubble Boy.
$500. Marcos comes to pick us up. We get in the car, and he's got a full racing kit on. Like,
don't worry.
He's got the fire suit, a helmet, the gloves.
If they're like, you're going to die on a golf course.
He's got a whole, like, what's the system?
Yeah, the halo system. Yeah. You're all rigged into your seat there.
Not good.
The X seat belts. Like your street racer.
Guys, anything else? Sam, did you pick Wen or Howe?
I went with Jake. I rode with Jake on Wen.
On Wen?
Yeah. I was originally with Howe because I was like, all right, then I know what to avoid, but I guarantee it would be something I enjoy doing. And I just don't want to ruin that for myself. Mm-hmm. I'd rather just know. Hey, they're like, hey, it's going to happen at this time.
Well, then you also just feel invincible because then you're like, nothing can kill me until this date. Like, I'm
true.
I could jump out of an airplane with a parachute. Guess what? Without a parachute. Falcon. Guess what? I'm not gonna die.
Nonchalantly free falling.
Yeah.
Terminal velocity.
Meanwhile, you end up in a coma and you just die on the day.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
That's when they pull the plug.
This is what I'm talking about. How you get like too deep in your own.
No, that's a really good.
See.
Okay. Yeah.
See, yeah, that's what I'm talking like about. Your downfall like is knowing when, so that you just end up fucking yourself up, and that's what ends up killing you.
Guys. Oh no, I got addicted to drugs.
I got addicted to heroin
because I was living it up.
Oh no,
like crazy. And then the heroin killed me.
Oh no, I ended up in a cartel.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Those men have guns.
I still have three more years to live. Where do we go from here?
How is this going to play out?
It's basically Malibu's Most Wanted. Just yeah. King Kong ain't got nothing on me.
That's Training Day.
Yeah, it is.
But it's also.
Yeah,
it's,
but they reference it.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
That's weird that you chose Malibu's Most Wanted.
Because it's a comedy and Training Day.
No, because in it, he knows that he thinks the guns are all fake. And so he knows he's not going to die.
Oh,
so
okay.
He's like
it's
acting
a better reference.
He's acting really big man.
Real big man.
Yeah, come on, man.
That's I didn't. That one was, yeah, God. Totally.
Guys, let's move on. This is
gonna I'm
going
to have to watch that again.
It's been a while.
It's so good. It's aged so well.
Yeah.
Bill Gluckman, Down with the Bitches and the Hoes.
Down
it's
with the Bitches
just
and the
so
hose,
good.
Man.
Have you guys watched Dave? The new season of
Not
Dave.
The new not season.
It,
I'm no. ready to start it,
dude,
though.
There's just this one scene. It's not like a real spoiler
okay.
or anything.
Yeah.
Gata, they're like stuck in this like house in Alabama. Like this like
oh,
trailer.
They're touring.
Right.
Yeah.
They're stuck in this like trailer. Oh, no. It's got to be somewhere because they're in a hurricane. But they're stuck in the south in like this trailer park home. And the family's putting off some like real weird vibes. But Gata's there and he like... has this like Russian girl with him that just keeps trying to have sex with him and he gets fed up with her. And then like all of a sudden another girl shows up and Taco's just like, that's my dog Gate. He's got two bitches pulling up in a hurricane.
Yes.
Yeah, he's the best character in the show.
Guys, let's get into some Not That Guy. All right. My Not That Guy this week is the former head basketball coach of the West Virginia Mountaineers, Bob Huggins. Bob Huggins, if you guys didn't know, he's already been in some issues and stuff. Like he just recently had to go on a whole apology tour because he said some insensitive shit.
Huggins, yeah.
Yeah, and then as of,
Huggy Bear.
I think it was like
Huggy
June 18th or something like that, gets pulled over, car in the middle of the road, tire completely shredded, has a cooler of beers in his front seat. Thought he was in Columbus. He was in Pennsylvania.
Oh,
blood alcohol level of 0.21.
He was going
what?
For it.
Like Bob like got, Pittsburgh, like just over the border? Or is he like...
Has no clue. He had no clue where he
Philly.
Was.
Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like not even remotely close. Like
yeah.
That's a long way.
He was it was just a bad luck. A dude that just never seems to have gotten it. Like it's you're done. You're not that guy and you'll forever not be that guy. Don't drink and drive. And
yeah, that's... almost a fourth of your blood.
That's
is
not good. Alcohol. That's dude 0.21. You really got after it, dude. And like just completely trashed. Not that guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guy. Sam Stats.
Not that guy. This week is LSU baseball.
Not good.
Yeah, they got fucking shelled yesterday, 24-4.
They still have game three though.
Yeah, they got fucking shelled.
How many games is the College World Series? Three games?
Three.
All right.
Yeah. Can go three games.
Yeah, I mean,
they're playing right now. They're up 10 to 2.
The Rockies got dick down like 24-4.
With only
yeah, they're
four?
Not 18-year-olds, though. You know?
Yeah,
with
yeah.
Four
they'll bounce
home
back.
Runs.
Dude, the LSU's got that kid going for the
pitcher is
the College World, not even the College World Series, the college like baseball record. For strikeouts in a season.
Yeah.
He's like five strikeouts away. He's throwing his
Third game in 9 days.
Third game in 9 days.
And in the previous two games,
110 plus pitches each one.
One of them was like 123.
Insane.
Till it falls off.
Pitch 119. I was watching that game that they walked off against Wake Forest. Pitch 119 was still 100 miles an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stupid. The kid is lights out.
Insane.
Yeah, so you can't get shelled in the World Series, man.
Not on a Sunday night.
Doesn't matter if you win game three, though.
That's true. I hope they prove me wrong. But
it'd be great for the championship DVD.
Be great for the ratings.
You're going to be there, not that guy.
I hope so.
Like fucking Sam McKinney from DeKalb, Illinois.
You're going to dox me?
Oh, bro. Good God.
Bleep that.
Well, the good news is he doesn't actually live in DeKalb.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well. Very true.
Figure it out.
Jake, who's this week's not that guy?
Not that guy. It was actually going to be a that guy. It's Kyle Davidson for just the absolute fleece job he made on the Boston Bruins. That's a good fucking deal.
Hey, anything to make Jake grin, you know.
That's all I got.
That's all I want to see you smile.
That's all I got.
I just want to see you smile. Guys,
Wednesday's going to be awesome.
Who can or cannot dog sit for you?
Mm-hmm.
Who cannot dog sit for me? Because I don't trust him. I don't trust his voice. I don't trust his face. Alex Rodriguez.
Oh, dude.
Guys,
he's a very untrustable
person. Dude, I can't stand him on the broadcast.
Dude,
it drives me
nuts. He was on the...
That's what he sounds like.
And look right here.
Dude, why does ESPN have like 8 people on that broadcast?
Well, so what?
Because none of them are of any substance, so they just have to get as many of them as possible.
What frustrates me is like, you couldn't have given us like, I know there was still Sunday Night Baseball yesterday, so they had the Sunday Night crew, but like, dude, we had to get A-Rod, and what's that other guy's name on that broadcast?
Van Skirgin?
No.
Oh, the big guy?
What's her face is the best one on the broadcast
for the
Sunday night crew.
I forget who A-Rod was on with yesterday, but A-Rod just himself, he's just bad. You're mispronouncing names.
Smoltz?
Forcing stats. Smoltz? No, it's not Smoltz either. Dude, you're mispronouncing names. You're forcing stats down our throats that just don't have any position here.
I wouldn't be surprised if he goes a long way here.
It's like this whole, and then it's this whole
Carl Ravage?
No, it's this whole infatuation with like the Tony Romo effect. Like trying to predict the game and predict.
Oh yeah, it's like
come on,
just give us what's happening, not what you think is going to happen.
Like I just need like just break it down for me.
Yeah,
old and like I don't even need you to break it down that much.
What was the Apple broadcast on Friday nights?
I didn't see it.
Is brutal.
It's bad.
It's if you thought A-Rod was annoying, D-Train Dontrell Willis is fucking. Brutal.
Kane County Cougar legend, Dontrell Willis.
I don't know why the guy is like predicting or talking about what hitters are thinking. Like, dog, you were just a pitcher.
Yeah, you were guessing what they were thinking.
Michael K. Michael K. Who's not like
Michael K.
Yeah, Mike K. K A Y. He does the Michael K. show in New York. Just not good.
I'm already out.
Not good. Not
I'm
already good. Out. Yeah, not good. A Rod's not good. I hate him. He can't watch my dogs.
Did you guys touch on the Yankees broadcaster? Just getting decked by that foul ball.
How funny
was
that?
That was brutal.
Ow!
For that guy.
Ow!
I feel bad because he's a legend. But like,
apparently a legend. I don't like his broadcast.
I don't listen to them. So like I've got.
Anytime I hear a home run call, I'm just like.
Oh,
he's the guy that misses them from time to time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's like, said, what happened? Like, what did I miss?
He's like, oh, that's a deep drive. That's going to be a
Stantonian blast.
And out.
It's 50 feet short.
What happened? What did I miss?
It's caught.
Ow.
That's an out.
Ow.
Legend. Just for that. All right. So dog sitting for me this week is also LSU baseball.
You're just going to run that one back?
Yeah.
Good for you, Sam.
You guys seen the Jello shot counter?
That's fucking crazy.
No.
You don't know about this?
Have you seen this? Have you heard this?
Dude, it's incredible.
Look up the like Omaha Jello shot
record. They've blown it out of the water.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even...
They've got like businessmen calling in, like just they're like, hey, I want to order 5,000 of them for all the LSU fans in the bar. And they're like, well... The record, you need like six. You need to order 6,000. You have the record. He's like, give me 6,000.
It was the owner of Raising Cane's.
That's who it was. Yeah,
He called in and was like, I want 5,000 Jello shots. They're like, well, you only need 1,000 more to break the record. He's like, all right, make it 6.
LSU ended up with an astonishing 21,435 Jello shots.
Well, it's still going.
And the previous, because
they're still in Omaha.
They're still in Omaha. They got a whole nother night.
So they're just going to... They're going to shatter the thing.
And for God forbid, if they win,
they might double it. Or nothing.
They could buy the bar with how much they spent.
I want to go just to have a Jello shot. That's what this has done to me.
Oh, my God. That's good. Yeah. I love that.
That's a good one.
Jake.
Dog sitting for me is friend of the show, Omar, intern.
Shout out to Omar.
Saw him again today at Burrito Paria. And
you play the hits. Dude, just play the hits.
I walk in. He's coming out of the bathroom. I was just like, dude, again? Why do we keep meeting here? And he's like, oh, buddy. Comes up, gives me a hug. He's like, hey, man, congrats. And I'm like, what? What did I do? And he's like, dude, congrats. He's like, Connor Bedard. The amount of people that just like have congratulated me on that is insane.
We just love to see you winning, man.
Yeah.
You guys should just settle.
See you smile.
Why don't you just set a lunch date with him? Once a week.
I took his order. He's like, dude, you got to get the burrito with the egg and the steak. I'm like,
was he right?
All right. Yeah. There's nothing bad there. He wasn't wrong. There's nothing bad there.
What's this place called?
Burrito Paria.
No, Burrito Paria. Hit us up.
Free ads. Free food. Free
ads.
Free food. Free ads. Free ads.
Yeah.
Transactional. Monster burritos.
Tell me when.
Like, you can't. The one I had today, I had to eat with a fork. It was
scale of
it
one.
Was fucking like.
You remember that zucchini he put next to Gatto? Like, tell us when.
It was like a bread loaf for the listeners.
Nice.
That's a holy shit,
dude! It was massive.
Jesus Christ!
Ate the whole thing. Bottomless pit.
Clip that, guys. That's gonna be a wrap on episode 78. Again, all the socials, you guys know them. We miss our buddy Dale. I'm hoping that next week is the first week the four of us get back, because we got some business to attend to. I don't really know what that means, but we'll figure that shit out.
Yeah.
Guys, it's been a blast doing this, having so much fun. Happy to be back with the boys. To another week. See Red. Bear down. Love you guys.
Bears.
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 Bears. Bears.
Jake eats the whole thing.
Like Kobayashi.
They couldn't prosecute him. It was in international waters.
So good.
It's bad. It's so bad. They don't win. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger,
but she ain't messing with no Richard Seymour. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. The boys are back.
Not that guy.
Get down, girl, gon' head, get down.
How big are you on sports?
Not that guy.
I need to put notes on that.
Right. Oral Roberts, yep. Man.
I'm drunk.
Drunk.
Bears.
It's looking more like Jake might have been right, but do I know anything about that man? Absolutely not going into that, right?
You don't have a choice.
No, that's not what I said.
Okay.
I watched all the tape. Watched all the tape.
To say where you work, but and then get the hell out of the chair.
The bestest friends in the whole world.
Go Chaos. Especial.
Not that guy.
Marcos disagrees.
Sean's legally blind.
Let him up, you dumb bitch.
It's Malort.
What if he wants to be here?
What?
Yeah. I rode with him for 3 weeks, dude. Wow.
Football guys. Really fast.
I need it in like 15 seconds though.
Yeah, your face is too narrow.
That guy.
Dude, I love and celebrating.
The Malort's on the table.
We're doing our best to put out as much as we can put out.